Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm sure you heard it earlier this year, Drew, and I'll place it in front of you, as I was always keen to know what you thought about the fact that you can't throw down the field anymore, apparently.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Who are the ones making those statements, and do they know anything about football?
Earlier on the show, Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. Coming up, ESPN Sports Center host Scott Van Pelt, plus actor David Cross. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We've got Scott Van Pelt joining us from Augusta National in just a few moments' time here on the show. Great chat with Kyle Brandt and Nate Boyer just last hour. Lamar Jackson joined us in our first hour of the program, and he was dynamite, just so likable, such a likable guy. I mean, someone to root for, and just to see how he can just keep shining out. And Sunday Night Football is going to be his latest stage. And last year, the Sunday Night Football stage against New England went so well for Baltimore. It propelled them for the rest of the regular season into the one seed. They were the clear class of the AFC North, and then at the time looked like the clear class of the AFC. If you recall, that's when Mahomes had his kneecap turned to the side of his leg, and they were Matt Mooring their way through that portion of the schedule, wondering when they could get Mahomes back and wondering what Mahomes would look like, so on and so forth. And then, as we know, Mahomes and the Chiefs wound up getting the bye week because the Patriots – in that night, on that Sunday night game, started to have one flaw after another show up. And then that was the beginning of the end, because this was November 4th, 2019, when they had that game. As Peter King always mentions when he's on this show, talking about how the Dolphins have turned things around, the Dolphins had a better record after Halloween than the Patriots did last year. Chiefs wound up getting a bye week along with the Ravens, and the two never met in the playoffs because the Titans took care of the Patriots and then the Ravens. Lamar said again something interesting, that he said the defense he's hearing is calling out plays that the Ravens are about to run. Run pass or something like that.
That's no good.
So that was an interesting chat with Lamar, who's one of my favorites. I love the guy. We had a chat with Drew Brees yesterday. It was a great – I mean, you got stars of the game, young and old, in this NFL.
Show,
well, I mean, I'm just pointing out again that we just try to have as many people. And plus, I don't know if Van Pelt's on hold. I want him to understand he's not the only guy who gets the stars of the game. Just kidding. Is he on hold for real?
Oh,
okay,
yeah,
I didn't even know
he
was on hold.
Yeah.
Hello, Scott Van Pelt. You there?
Yeah, I mean, I just got done hosting a show for 2 hours. I'm sorry that I wasn't there the second you needed me.
Oh my gosh! Oh my word! No, I wasn't doing that. I hope you're okay. Is everything all right? Are we good?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm shoving a cheese cracker in my face. I was trying to pick up, and for some reason my phone was screwing up. But here I am, thrilled to be here as always. How are you, sir?
I am doing great. How is everything in Augusta? How's everything there, brother? What does it look like? Is it weird?
It's odd.
Yeah.
Yes, odd but still familiar, if that makes any sense. Like, it's like, for if you said, hey, we're going to do Christmas and we're going to do it in July, you'd go, okay. And then you busted out the tree and the decorations and you wrapped presents and you came down and it was 90 outside and you were opening presents in July, you'd think, well, okay, the tree's familiar, the presents are wonderful, I'm happy to celebrate this. It's just odd because it's not when we typically would do this. So it's strange not having the patrons, as they are referred to here at Augusta National, is really jarring. They are such a huge part of the soul of the place, and the players have all commented it's just so strange, and it will be stranger once the event begins. But just everything else is incredibly familiar. It's immaculate, like it always is. It's a huge event. The guys are obviously they're going to do everything that they can to win it.
And what does it look like with turning leaves? What does that look like, Scott? It must look incredible.
They haven't changed as much as, say, you know, New England, which I know was a long time ago, but you remember fall in New England, or yes, where I am now in D.C., where the colors have clearly kind of come and gone. It's not quite like that. There's some trees that have changed, but I mean, it's still awfully green. And I mean, as I stand here and look out at the practice range, it's more green than it is anything else.
I'm just excited. And I guess, why did they choose middle of November? Did they want to make sure that the course was closed for a while, or what was it? What is it?
That's
you know?
Part of it. I mean, I think at the time in the spring, the hope was that we'd be out of where we were in terms of COVID, and then actually, you know, now, and I mean, obviously we're testing more and this and that, but I mean, it's not any better. But I think what it gave the golf course a chance to do is go through the summer and the fall to get it prepared to compete. It'll be different in terms of how it plays. It'll play longer. And then it's going to rain a ton on Thursday, so that's going to make it an issue. But this gave them the best chance to have the golf course as they would have wished it to be to present the event.
Scott Van Pelt here on the Rich Eisen Show, fresh off of the set of coverage for ESPN at Augusta National, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We spoke to our buddy Tirico on Monday, and he said it's Bryson DeChambeau's week to be talked about. And that by the end of the week, that's all we're going to be talking about. Would you agree with that assessment?
No.
Okay.
No, because he's going to hit it a mile. We know that. And I might look foolish saying that now, but I'll say it because this place, you can hit as far as you want. Great. You're going to have shorter clubs into these greens. Again, great. He's got to put the ball better here, or he will not win. And the last 3 years, statistically, his strokes gained putting, he's dead last. And Andy made the point on the show that I found really interesting, that he is a guy who leans on his putting books which are basically the template each week on the PGA Tour of what the greens are. They don't have those here. And he's a guy that is really, really has a fascinating mind and uses all of this, all the intel and feedback, much the way front offices use analytics. And here it's going to have to be more feel and less information. And so I think maybe that's part of why he hasn't putted particularly well, but also you're allowed to get better. You know, there's nothing to say that he won't putt better this week. My only counter to Mike would be, unless he putts better, he won't win. If he does putt well, then he might win in a walk the way he did it at Wingfoot. But, I mean, he's going to hit the ball places out here if it dries out any that people just won't believe. Because it's absurd, some of the things that we're talking about, like driving it over the trees on 13 and hitting a wedge in. Like, that's his play on the par five.
Yeah, I mean, I asked Mike if there's anyone that he could any holes that he could table par four. He mentioned the third, and that's about it. But I mean, we're going to just watch him.
Jack Nicklaus, Rich. Jack Nicklaus said that in the right wind conditions that he could drive one. I mean, I stood on one tee yesterday and I contemplated that, and then I walked away. it makes no bleeping sense, man. I can't even fathom that that's possible. But, Jack, I defer to Jack when it comes to Augusta National.
Yes.
He suggested that. It won't happen this week because it'll be too wet. But, I mean, just the fact that we're talking about that, and I don't want to get too golfy here, but, I mean, the chairman, Fred Ridley, said today that we're getting close to a call to arms about how far the golf ball is going. My guess is that very soon here you'll see the ruling bodies do something to limit how far a golf ball goes. Because if they don't, then you're going to run out of real estate for these courses to be played on.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. And just, I guess, just to go down the checklist of what I talked about with Mike, do we come up with a new phrase right now about if DeChambeau does hit it a ton and tear it up, is it a Brysonizing the course? Or what's the one that Tirico came with? DeChambeau's. Do you DeChambeau's Augusta National?
You can't. There's only so much. Listen, Augusta National has they don't like the term money. So in deference, they have resources, Rich, and the resources they have are unlimited to acquire land around the golf course. But there's only so big you can make this place, and there's nothing you can do, unless unless the Greens are your defense. And they have been the defense against him thus far. But in terms of making it long enough, what are you going to make it, 9,000 yards? And no, you can't.
Scott Van Pelt here on the Rich Eisen Show. Who are we not talking about? Who should we be talking about this week? What do you think?
Xander Schauffele. Xander Schauffele is the guy that Andy just picked him on the show. I picked him before I got here. I mean, he's finished in the top 10 more than half of the last majors in the last 3 years. I mean, he's finished second last year. You know, he's going to win majors, plural. I'm convinced of that. And so at some point it begins. It's just now's as good a time as any. But the thing about this course, Rich, as you know, is that there are so many players who show up and think, oh yeah, like Dustin Johnson, I play well there. John Rahm hasn't played here a lot. He plays well here. Justin Rose, I lost in a playoff there. And then there are all the guys that have won it that show up and think, I can compete. So, and Justin Thomas hasn't won it yet. He's getting better every year. There's so many people, Rich, that come here and if they won, you'd go, sure, of course. And there are so many guys that you think will eventually win, and then some of them, like Ernie Els and Greg Norman and Tom Weisskopf and David Duvall, never do. So, like, it's a place everyone loves, and who's the guy lucky enough to be the guy that plays the best? I mean, that's the thing. If I knew on Wednesday, I'd meet you in Vegas, and we'd never work a day again.
Yes, indeed. So you like Xander Schauffele out of the top 10 players coming in?
I do.
You like Xander? Okay. Let's just say
top 10 guy.
Let's just say then, if you take a second tier of players from ranking in the world between 11 and 20, and you had that list in front of you, because I might have texted you about that earlier. Who would you take in that?
And I might have done that homework, and I might have put that list together already, and might be prepared to answer.
All right, Scott. Yeah.
All right. And this is just for me to utilize. Let's just say
Matsuyama.
Okay.
Because if you're picking against other people, they won't pick him, and they should. He plays well here. He played well the last event he played. Mm-hmm. I like Matsuyama from those 11 through 20.
Okay. And let's just say my buddy Chris Brockman decided to put something together where there's a third tier of players as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Between 21 and 32. Who would you choose from that third tier?
Let me give you a guy no one will have from that list, because there are a lot of people that you could pick, but take Kokrak at 24, who just won in Vegas and hits the ball a mile. Again, I'm trying to give you some people I don't think others would select, because they're not as smart as me.
Jason Kokrak. By the way, if Kilbourne...
No one will have that person. No one else will.
I appreciate that. If Kilbourne was still doing SportsCenter, it'd be Jason Kokrakatoa. Right? That's
there you go.
All right. Tier four. Let's just keep going down all the tiers between 34 and 45. Who do you think's got
the best? I'll give you the next three without stopping.
Yes.
Your next tier, I want you to take a dog, Kevin Kisner. You got to putt it around here. Kisner putts it well, and obviously, like everyone else, loves it. He's played here like 60 times. Mm-hmm. Kisner in your 40 tier. Jason Day, I can't believe, is available still. This is like when you draft in your fantasy draft, and you look up and someone's still there.
Yeah.
Day is in the 50s, a major champion, way too good to be ranked at that space and still get him. And then, again, no one's going to have my main man, Lanto.
Is he on the Mandalorian?
Lanto Griffin.
That's my guy. He competed well at the PGA. Again, I'm trying to give you, because if we're doing like drafts, and everyone's going to have some version of the same thing. But if you have Matsuyama, Kokrak, Kisner, and Lanto, you'll be standing by yourself. And it might be worthless. Like by Thursday night, it might absolutely be worthless.
Yes.
But that's who I scribbled down. That's who I scribbled down, Rich.
Lanto Calrissian Griffin.
Right.
There you go.
Day
all right.
Watch. ESPN Plus. Me and Booker. Day.
Oh, man. How is life in D.C.? I know you wanted to move there to be closer to family, Scott, and it was remarkable that ESPN said go for it, and they built you a beautiful set, and your show is just as great as ever. How's that working for you?
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's good. It's you as having kids and dealing with moving and trying to get them adjusted in the world of that we're in, and not things aren't as easy to meet people. It's challenging, more so than I thought it might be, but I'm home. I'm close to family. Mom, you know, is able to come by anytime she wants, which, you know, is what it's about. And we're in the same studio as Tony and Mike, have done PTI for years. And we're Ted Koppel, used to host Nightline.
No kidding.
Told me that, and I thought, they should not let me walk in the same place that that man worked. And so it's all surreal, driving down familiar streets in DC and that's where I am. It's all hard to fathom, but I'm just grateful. You know, I'm grateful we get to do what we do and grateful to be able to be home to do it.
And then you got, I don't want to say the other Tungo Vailoa, but the second one, crushing it for your alma mater right now, Scott. That's got to be happening.
Yeah, Leah. They were 20-point dogs to Minnesota. They beat them. They were 20-something point dogs to Penn State. They beat them. I mean, I don't think that Maryland's beating Ohio State, but nevertheless, it's a couple of wins for Tua's brother, who's pretty good.
So, almost happened last year, Scott.
I'm just happy. Hey, look, any game that gets played right now, Rich, I'm celebrating.
Me too.
I'm hoping the NFL can hang on here and keep trudging along because they've done as great a job as they can trying to handle it all.
Well, Scott, I know that, again, that you've been working like crazy. I appreciate you just popping on the phone and enjoy Augusta. Enjoy that and enjoy going home to your family. And let's chat around the holidays. I'd love it, if you don't mind.
I look forward to that. Be well. I hope this list isn't totally useless, but I did. I actually put thought into it, even though it might appear I didn't.
No, trust me. When it's the first, we're thrilled that we've been here 6 years, and now that we've got a new home in Peacock, I think it's the first time we've ever heard the name Lanto Griffin, let alone streamed it. You know, simulcast.
There you go.
So
and
I appreciate
I'm,
that.
I'm thrilled to have made history with you here,
Scott. You can just join the pool if you want. It's
no,
fine.
No. He's not going to do something like that. This man. He doesn't want to take a bad beat in this one either. Okay, so.
Right? No, that's true. Hey, look, Al Michaels referenced this. It's a good work. Worldwide, baby. Worldwide.
Take care of yourself, Scott. Enjoy the week. Enjoy it, brother.
Be well.
You got it.
Back to the family, Rich.
Same to you. That's Scott Van Pelt. One of my favorites. All right. Lanto Griffin.
I've never heard of that guy, to be honest. But I will be adding him to a second entry.
Lanto Griffin. Oh, my goodness gracious. From Mount Shasta, California.
Wow.
Which is where... He's 32 years old, which means when I was doing the sportscasts in Mount Shasta, in Redding, California, which is
right there,
right south of beautiful Mount Shasta, I might have been doing, so that's like 1994. He was born in, he was a six-year-old watching me do the sports. Lanto was, young Lanto. Was out there watching me do my sportscasts.
Does that count towards the Eisen bump? Don't see why.
Clearly.
Yeah, I mean, there you go.
Now I'm riding Lanto Griffin in the Barranca, man.
Well, Rich, you can get up at 5:06 local time.
Oh, my God, really? Is that when he's teeing off?
5:06 Pacific. He's playing with Vijay Singh and Tyler Duncan.
Wow.
I'll text you guys.
From Mount Shasta, California. I'll text you guys. It's a beautiful part of this country, the North State of California. All right. I'm all in on Lanto.
Let's go.
Lanto.
And I had no idea that I was talking to Lanto as a 6, 7, 8-year-old kid.
Oh, my God, Lanto.
If he was watching a local sportscast, age 6, 7, and 8, turning on Channel 7R in Redding, California, I was that guy. There I was.
We need a reunion.
Or I ask Lanto Calrissian Griffin. What?
And since you brought up Lando Calrissian, I just wanted to point out that he's sitting right here.
Oh, there he is.
Hey.
Billy D. Williams.
Billy D.
One of the coolest of all time. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. David Cross will join us. Chris Brockman's news update. That's how we're rolling the rest of this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We've got a great celebrity true or false for David Cross when he joins us coming up.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Ready to get away from it all? Free yourself with Pluto TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No contracts, no subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android or iPhone and start watching now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Back here on our friends at Peacock. Great chat with Scott Van Pelt right there.
You guys. trying to get him to give you hints for your.
What do you mean?
More than hints. I mean, Rich does it every year. He's like, well, what about a guy in the 20 to 30 range?
You two are going to have like the same. He's writing down what is being.
No, no, I already have one. I might do a second one, though, with Scott's help.
Oh,
that was smooth, though. I'll give you that much. That was smooth.
Well, I'm just wondering. Yeah. If we split up the world golf ranking 10 by 10 by 10 by 10 and figure that out, I mean, yeah, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with taking a look at which guys and which tier of the world golf ranking has the best chance to win this? It's a better way than just saying, hey, who outside of the top 10? Maybe I should just go 10 by 10 and take those picks and go to Chris Brockman's link.
The second group's always the hardest.
Well done. Well done, Rich.
Thanks, Chris.
Well done.
I appreciate that.
The thing is, in that second group, you have Tiger, Patrick Reed,
I know,
Koepka,
there's
Wolf,
a lot
Scott,
of good. That's second
group. Like guys who have won.
Right.
Yeah, it's tough.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show with our radio audience now. We're one big, happy streaming / radio family. Right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. Right here also on Sirius XM Channel 211 and the Rich Eisen Show radio network. Highlighted by the Mightier 1090 right here in Southern California. I am a big fan of this man's work. I don't know if he's ever been on this show before in our 6 years. Loved him in Mr. Show with Bob and David way back in the day. That was before Arrested Development. And also in Goliath, where he played a far different character than the one that he did in other shows that included also the Ben Stiller Show. And his new movie, The Dark Divide, available now on VOD, digital, and Blu-ray and DVD platforms wherever you can get that. The highly talented David Cross back here on the Rich Eisen. Oh, well, here on the Rich Eisen. How are you, David?
I'm good. And, you know, it's interesting as you were doing that intro.
Yes, sir.
Right before you were saying, I don't know if he's been on the show, I was actually sitting here thinking, have I been on the show before?
I don't think so,
and
David.
I don't know.
I usually do have a good recollection of that sort of thing, but I've wanted you on for quite some time because everything that I just read, you are hilarious, man, and you are excellent at what you do. So I'm glad that you're.
Well,
you're,
thank you.
You are most welcome. You're from Atlanta. Is that where you're from originally?
Yeah.
Where you? Okay.
Yeah.
So is that the part of the country that you associate yourself with, or what? I mean, did you spend much time there when you were in Atlanta?
All my family. Well, most of my family is still down there.
Okay.
So I'm there quite a bit. But now that I have a daughter. We're down there, I mean, you know, outside of COVID stuff, we're there about 4 or 5 times a year, pretty much.
So the reason why I ask is just basically also, do you have any sports teams from there, David? Did you grow up any Atlanta sports fan in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah, unfortunately, yes. I am a Braves fan, went to tons of Braves games because when they sucked, it was very cheap. I remember there was a, you know, one of those quarter car wash chains called National Pride Car Wash, and they would have coupons that would allow you to get to into the game for like a couple bucks. So my friends and I would go to those games. It wouldn't cost much. And then also the Atlanta Flames sucked for a long time as well. And, so we'd get into those games fairly cheaply. And then unfortunately, a Falcons fan, too. So while I was at the World Series win that game, I've been to a lot of race games over the years, but I was actually at the last game in the old stadium.
The old Fulton County Stadium, the old Fulton County Stadium back in the day. So if I had to guess then, was like Dale Murphy your guy growing up? Is that?
I loved Dale Murphy, but I was also a Red Sox fan. I really liked the Red Sox. And then I moved to Boston from Atlanta and, you know, went to tons of games at Fenway, which is just a completely different and better experience.
Yes.
And I was a big Dwight Evans fan. But, you know, I was definitely Dale Murphy was my guy, but all you know, a lot of those earlier teams that I've named characters, like I've done movies and TV shows, and I usually have some old Braves characters in there. I did a movie called Hits, and I had two cops were Lemke and Blauser, the names of the cops. And I got those sprinkled throughout a lot of my work over the decades.
I mean, and did you ever hear from Sid Bream and say, what gives? I mean, did you ever?
You know, I mean, but I remember exactly where I was when the slide happened. I was at a bar in New York City.
And I
just remember the, you know, hanging on to the, watching the game in a bar and banging my foot pretty bad on the stool, the little, you know, the rail of the stool.
Yeah.
As I was like jumping up and down and got caught in there.
Well, I also remember one of the biggest moments, I guess, in Atlanta Flames history was when Jim Craig, if I'm not mistaken, after winning the gold medal, he went between the pipes for the Atlanta Flames. I haven't heard that.
It was about as big a promotional push, because I remember Coca-Cola was behind it because they're local, you know, and that was a big deal. And then I think they were gone within 2 years, I want to say. They moved to Calgary.
Yes, they did.
Within a year or 2 years of his signing, I remember. But I did catch a slap shot that went up and hit the because we used to buy our tickets. There was nobody there, so you'd buy the cheapest tickets and then you'd just move down and you know, I'd be in like the third row behind the goal, and there was Eric Vail. I remember it was Eric Vail who hit the slap shot. It went off the glass and just went spinning, and I just instinctively, you know, jumped up and put my hand up, and it hurt like a mug. I don't know if you're allowed to swear, but
no, it's okay. It is a family show, technically.
A mother clucker. It hurt like a mother clucker.
Yes.
And I was probably like, I don't know, what would that have been, like 12 or something like that?
Amazing.
13. And just damaged my little hand, but it was pretty cool.
David Cross here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's before we get into I go down memory lane a little bit with some of my celebrity guests and ask them in celebrity true or false stuff that I've seen in articles and quotes if they're true or not. Before we get to that, let's talk about The Dark Divide. You play the Dr. Robert Pyle in this film.
Yeah, real guy.
Which is a real guy. Walk me through this and why you did this and how you got involved in this. This fair, sir. What do you got for me?
So it's a true-ish story. It really takes from a bunch of his books, but it's a guy who kind of mild-mannered, lepidopterous, kind of bookish kind of guy, very introverted, who through these extenuating circumstances involving his deceased wife ends up going on this journey through the Dark Divide, which is the nickname of the Gifford Pinchot National Forest out in the Pacific Northwest. It's like the largest uncharted wild bit of land in the lower 48 states left. And this is back in 1995. And he's just in way over his head. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's very naive about what he's about to undertake. And, you know, it's one of those kind of stories and movies where, you know, he goes in, he starts his journey, he starts one way, and through all this arduous journey he goes on, you know, near-death experiences and all kinds of things that happen, and the people he meets, ends up a completely different person at the end, you know. And he went in there thinking he was going to be gone for a little under a month, and he was lost all track of time, and he was actually almost 6 weeks in there, and just it was and I rarely get offered that kind of opportunity, and I really like the story, and I like the idea of being in my underwear a lot, you know, on screen, and you're welcome for that.
Yes.
And then once I met with the writer and director which is the same person, Tom Putnam, wrote and directed it. And just when I meshed with him, because if you're going to do something, because it was very low budget, really brutal, tough. I mean, we shot in a lot of the real locations, and, you know, there's no electricity. There's no roads. At a certain point, you just park to drive as far as you can. Then you get out and you lug all this gear with a skeleton crew into, you know, the interior of these crazy woods. And, you know, there's no internet, no electricity, no cell phone service, nothing like that. And, you know, it was a really difficult shoot. So I wanted to make sure I, you know, jived with him, and I did. And then I was like, yeah, let's do it.
And it's, again, available now on VOD, digital, and Blu-ray / DVD platforms. Plus, let's be honest, Odenkirk can't have all the serious roles where he's going through great physical harm and actually doing this, right? You gotta stay total. Yeah. You gotta keep up with him right now, you know?
Yeah, exactly. We're dueling. I'm racing up the charts.
Yes, you are catching butterflies. So in The Dark Divide, it's a great movie. Everyone should go check it out. If you don't mind endeavoring a little celebrity true or false here on the Rich Eisen Show, I would greatly appreciate it, David Cross. Okay, would you?
Absolutely.
Are you prepared? Here we go. We even have a drop for it. Go for it, please.
Celebrity true or false?
You can't handle the truth.
Oh boy, very good. It's very dramatic. Setting up a celebrity true or false with David Cross. Again, these are items that we have captured from articles that have been written about you or. Are on the internet. You got to tell us if it's true or false. First item,
am I guessing or am I?
No, you're confirming. You're confirming or saying this is true or false. Okay, this is not.
Got it.
You're confirming for us. According to one article, you have, quote, no qualms whatsoever, unquote, about taking your clothes off for any reason. Is that true or false, David Cross?
True-ish.
Okay.
The reason should be good, but it really depends on how much I've been drinking.
Okay. So it really depends on the actual alcohol intake. But professionally, yeah. This is something that you're open to, is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Mr. Show, there's, you know, if you got rid of that video digital scrambler thing, I'm sure you'd be seeing them get quite an eye load. Bob and I.
From the two of you back in the day, that was so much fun. That was there ever something that you did that on Mr. Show with Bob and David that you were told you could not do? And that had to be hit on the cutting room floor?
Literally in 4 years, mm-hmm. there was one thing.
And that is?
And I can't remember the thing, but it's like a flashback. It's in the opening. There's a flashback where I'm playing my dad. And Marilyn Rice Cub is the mom. And there's a baby, which is supposed to be me, which is a plastic doll, clearly a plastic doll.
Yes.
And I say something about the baby, and the mom, Mary Lynn, slams the baby down the ground and goes, F this baby. And that was the one thing they said, yeah, we don't want you to do that. So I was like, oh, okay.
So then we had to find a different way to. Okay. So that, other than that, it was all good. Ready to go on Mr. Show.
Yep.
Okay. Very good. Next one for you. You were originally approached to play Buster Bluth in Arrested Development, but you chose Tobias instead. Is that true?
They had sent me, actually they wanted me to look at Job and Buster, and Job I had no reading on at all. I didn't understand it. And Buster seemed really fun, but Tobias was in there, and I just immediately gravitated to that character. And I also knew immediately how I wanted to play him. So I lobbied for that, and they were like, fine.
Is he based on anybody that you have met before? Is Tobias... Where you said, you know, you
No, he's the way I pitched him was like a half a mashup, an amalgamation of a like East Coast Dick Van what's the guy's name? Dick Cavett, like East Coast turtleneck wearing Dick Cavett type of intellectual or pseudo intellectual in his case, meets a kind of Marin County touchy feely cable sweater kind of like, you know, a therapist who makes up his own brand of therapy and just calls himself a therapist, you know, like a mix of those two types of people.
What's your favorite scene from Arrested Development, David Cross? Which is your favorite?
Oh, come on. Come on.
Yeah, how to do it.
Richard.
David.
Come on. I don't, I mean, you know, I could say something now and it'll change in 10 minutes if I remember another one, but
okay,
I mean, I remember rarely laughing as hard as I ever have there's a thing with a, it's like a flashback to a party or something, and Buster, Tony Hale's playing the piano. We're in the Lucille's living room, the penthouse, and then I think Job is on laying on the table, dining room table, and I can't remember what Michael's doing, and I'm dancing in my, I'm laughing thinking about it now, in my, you know, never nude shorts, and just that was also like the end of a long day. It was like hour 13 and we were all loopy and just doing that. And I know for a fact that when you see Will Arnett laughing, Will and Jason laughing in the background, that's them laughing for real. They couldn't stop laughing.
I was about to say, who's the one that was the easiest to break up on the set? Like would just crack?
That's a good question. Wow, maybe me. I don't know.
Is that right?
Jason's a pro. I mean, he's pretty great. I'd say Will or me, you know, be one of the two of us.
So it's funny you said that.
Tony was really good at, staying solid.
He's staying that way, yeah, because it's funny. So Will had a better read of the Job character than you did, and so everyone wound up in the right spots in that.
Oh, yeah. Cast. I mean, once I saw Will in it, I was like, of course. That didn't even occur to me, and I just can't imagine. It's one of those rare casts where I just can't imagine anybody else playing those roles, you know?
Right.
Like, because I'd never met Will before or even knew of him. But when I was watching it all happen when we were shooting the pilot, I was like, oh, God, of course. This guy's great. It's perfect. Perfect.
It certainly is. David Cross, The Dark Divide, where everybody can check it out on VOD, digital, and Blu-ray/DVD platforms right now. Thanks for the call, David. Appreciate it. I meant what I said. I'm a big fan, and I hope we get to chat a little bit more, go down more of your Atlanta sports memory lane next time, too. Thank you.
Well, thanks, man. And I want to thank you for all you're helping me with all my fantasy baseball decisions over the last decades.
I had no idea the pressure was on. So, won a championship on my knowledge?
I have.
Okay.
Yes, I have.
Fantastic. I didn't see a playoff. I didn't see my playoff share, David. I didn't get that, but I'll just.
Yeah, no, you know. It should be. Check your PayPal and it should be in there.
Very good. Thank you, David. I will do that in the commercial break. Thanks for the call, David. I appreciate it. You take care.
All right, absolutely. Thank you.
That's David Cross, at David Cross on Twitter, at David Cross Official on Instagram. I didn't have the heart to ask him one extra thing. That apparently Alvin and the Chipmunks Chipwrecked, which he was in, was one of the worst experiences he's ever had on a job. And my kids love them, Chipwrecked. Yeah. As a matter of fact, there'll be dad points. Guess who I spoke to today?
Oh.
From Chipwrecked.
Oh. I loved the Chipmunks growing up.
Oh, my gosh. All right, your news update will take us all the way to Brother from Another. Let's come back. There's some big news out of college football that we will hit on. I do not know what it is. I am keenly interested in it. And we'll stay off of my social media feed.
Thank you.
For the next 2 minutes to give you my first blush reaction coming up.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Welcome back to Peacock. You know who that is?
Is that our guy?
That's Lando Griffin.
Oh, God. He looks nothing like Lando Calrissian.
Look at that follow through. Look at him stare down. Look at him stare down his shot, man. He's staring it down. My man from Mount Shasta, California. Beautiful spot. Love the lake up there. Lake Shasta is amazing.
Playing with VJ.
I have panned for gold in that area.
Really? Have you really?
I have.
Did you do that for a bit for the news?
I didn't. I did that in my spare time.
Oh. There's a lot of gold up there. Well, I still have your highlight tape from those days at home somewhere, and I remember all the weird, dumb bits you used to do.
Weird, dumb bits. Excuse me, sir.
Well, I mean, there were leather jackets involved.
30 years of weird, dumb bits has gotten you that chair and me this one.
I was just going
to
say.
Great point. I remember you were next to a bull wearing a leather jacket once.
Yep, I did. I covered a rodeo. There was a rodeo in Redding, California. back in the day. And I'm back here on the Rich Eisen Show radio network. And it was Red Bluff, California. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Did you ever have to pull a sign down? That people...
And I know, and so it was like I had to cover the rodeo. I had to preview the rodeo in town. And I spoke to the guy who was training the bull. I said, if you stand right next to the camera and I stand next to the bull, will you be able to keep the bull in place? He said, yes. So I interviewed the bull to preview the rodeo. It's a good bit. It's a good bit. Got me a job on SportsCenter.
That's all that matters.
That was part of my resume.
Was that on your tape?
Sure was.
Center?
Absolutely. That's some of my best material. And I remember I then covered the rodeo, and I was supposed to interview Ty Murray, who was as big a rodeo star as there was at the time. I didn't know what he looked like. And I walked up to whoever was running the rodeo in Reading, and I said, can you tell me where Ty Murray is? And I got a look from this person, similar to the look you would have gotten from whoever was at the time United Center, and you said, "Where's? Can you point out Michael Jordan to me?" So then, you know, that's my rodeo career.
Do you remember what was the order of the your segments on your resume reel?
I don't remember that.
It's always
that
start strong, finish strong.
I also went up to Lake Shasta, home nearby of the great Lanto Griffin, who we were choosing in our Barranca, our Ralph Barranca. We got a call once saying that Tanya Harding was on a houseboat in Lake Shasta.
Oh yeah, I've heard that story.
Yes.
Got a call. We got that tip.
Yeah, tipster.
And the news director at the time, who I think enjoyed tormenting me in a little bit of a way, he says, "You're the sports guy. You go check it out." And I'm like, what am I checking out? Tanya Harding's up there. Go interview her. And I'm like, okay. And I hopped in the car, and I got up there, and it's a huge-ass lake. It's a monster lake. Like, you couldn't find anybody on that. It could take hours to find anybody. And like, what am I supposed to do, drive up next to the houseboat and board it with my camera? Like, you know, like mount some sort of, you know, journalistic assault on the houseboat. What am I supposed to do?
I'm the captain.
So
now.
I showed up, and the guy who's working the front desk, I mean, it literally was like an episode of Schitt's Creek. And I walked up to the person who was running the desk. I'm like, is Tanya Harding here? Well, I can't confirm that. You know, we have privacy laws. And I'm like, well, was she here? Like, just tell me, is she here? I can't tell you.
Blink twice.
So I decided I can't go back empty handed. I said, would you mind if I just used one of the houseboats that's not out on the lake to shoot a piece about her maybe being here? Go be my guest. So I shot a piece that we heard that Tanya Harding was on a houseboat here. We can't confirm it, but if we did, it would be something similar to this. And like, I would go on the tour and open up the drawers in the houseboat and find like a big, huge stick in there. And again, that dumbass bit helped me sit in this chair.
Hey, Rich, I just want to
know. Quarter century later, and Lando Griffin, at age 7, was sitting at home laughing, enjoying my sportscasts and my comic stylings mixed with sports and information. And now, look where he is.
Hey!
Playing with Vijay Singh in the Masters.
Rich, the bull's name was Sammy. I just confirmed.
No, my God. Is that really his joke?
Mike, that's
is that
the joke
his joke?
Came
like
up
he's,
with?
Been, he's been trying to get in for the last minute.
No, I mean a couple minutes.
He's been cultivating that caper like the Lufthansa heist the last minute.
Henry,
can see you twitching towards your microphone.
I want my joke, Henry.
I get it.
I want my joke, Henry.
I got it.
Woo. We're here all week. Try the veal.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Do me a favor. Let me do the jokes.
Yeah, I'm fine.
You react. All right?
That was such a bad joke.
It's terrible. I get to the point where I have
TJ
to.
Didn't even react.
I know we've got to get to your news. I just can't let that be the button for the segment. I just can't let that be the button.
Sorry, Rich.
Rich, I understand, man.
I can't let it be the button.
I understand.
But we are technically taking Lanto Griffin under our wing.
I think he's the official. Yeah, he's now the official golfer of the Rich Eisen Show for the Masters.
There you go.
Look at him,
Lanto. Okay, that's the button.
That's Sammy the ball.
Hit the drop, please. Let's get to the news.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
What do you have over there, Chris?
All right, so this is just breaking. Scott, last segment talked about, or two segments ago, talked about getting excited to watch his Maryland Terps against Ohio State this weekend. That's canceled. Bruce Feldman said Saturday's game of Maryland-Ohio State is getting canceled.
Is it because of?
For COVID reasons, yeah.
Do we know which program has been?
Not yet. Not that I believe. So this is just breaking in the last couple minutes. You know, the SEC already has four games postponed this weekend. LSU, Alabama, Texas A&M, Tennessee, Georgia, Missouri, and Auburn, Mississippi State are all postponed for COVID reasons. Commissioner Greg Sankey spoke today and was asked about his level of confidence in completing the SEC regular season, says he's troubled by what's happened, but he's shaken, not deterred. So they're going to push forward.
Okay. That's what he said, shaken, not deterred?
Shaken.
Which is, he sounds like the way that
Adzi is certainly
James
shaken,
Bond liked
but not
his martinis.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what else to say other than the fact it's just scary and frightening, and I hope everyone's okay. And
all right, here
no
we go.
Effects.
Just updated from Bruce. Maryland has eight players who have tested positive this week.
Okay.
Some NFL stuff. As we mentioned, Christian McCaffrey receiving a second opinion on his right shoulder injury.
Yeah.
Not expected to play this week against
Tampa. I know
Tampa.
That. I also just received, Matt, from the LA NFL Media Group news desk, some quotes from Matt Rhule.
Okay.
Where he says, it looks like Christian probably won't play. I wouldn't say that it's 100%, but it looks like he'll be out next week, and we'll see for next week. And it's being called an AC joint issue in his shoulder.
Those are very painful.
I have had them.
Yeah, very painful.
I've had one. That's what I suffered at the Pro Bowl back in 2005. That was, I had to go to my off mic hand for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
And we did have Carolina's Panthers trainer actually look at my shoulder on the set. I'm making it about myself. Yes.
It's week to week. But, Rich, you got Mike Davis, so you're fine.
Well, I picked him back up. Yeah, it's Davis, it's a Festivus miracle after Hanukkah came to an end with all of his 6 weeks of fantasy value burning bright. He was the Shamus of the running backs. Look it up. What else you got?
Kenyon Drake back at practice
for
the Cardinals, so that's good news.
Okay.
Joe Mixon got in a limited session today for Cincinnati. John Brown not at practice today for Buffalo. The Browns activated Baker Mayfield from the COVID-19 list. He was never positive, but he was a high-risk contact.
Okay, glad that he
so
never had it then.
Back normal week here.
Okay.
Also, Nick Chubb progressing, expects to know more on his status Friday, said Kevin Stefanski. Anthony Lynn said he's leaning toward resting Justin Jackson, so that, you know, muddled Charger backfield now with Kellen Ballage getting
a
bunch
of looks.
Yeah,
what was that?
I'm not sure.
What happened to Justin Jackson again?
There is conflicting reports that he aggravated his knee in warm-ups, and then on the first play of the game it flared up and then he didn't play again. But so he's got a knee issue. Justin.
Okay. Taking on Miami, man. Here we go. Tua versus Herbert. You got anything else over there?
That should be really fun. Yeah, yeah. The Dodgers and Major League Baseball announced that Vin Scully is going to be the narrator for the Dodgers World Series DVD that's coming out.
Okay.
So that's pretty awesome. Two-disc Blu-ray coming out December 8th. Oklahoma City announced Mark Daigneault's going to be their head coach. And some baseball news, TJ, Mark Stroman accepted the Mets' one-year $18.9 million qualifying offer.
I love it.
Some other players have until 5 p.m. today to accept, but they're not expected to, including
DJ LeMahieu.
Trevor Bauer, Mets. George Springer, DJ LeMahieu, Red Sox, and JT Realmuto.
Oh, that's definitely Mets.
DJ LeMahieu to the Sox is a real thing that's being rumored. He would look great in Boston.
Yes, he would.
Love that guy.
Yes, he would. He'd look great anywhere.
Yeah, he would. Yeah. George Springer, too, is getting a lot of
Boston. How about that, by the way? You say $18.9 million qualifying offer from the New York Yankees. You know what? Yeah, that's a little too low.
Dude's been MVP amazing. In the last two seasons.
He has been amazing.
He's been awesome. Yeah.
And he was kind of like a prior to the 2019 season, like an oh by the way, look who the Yankees picked up.
Yeah. After winning a batting title, I think in 2018.
Unreal, man. He's been a terrific awesome. Baseball player.
Yeah, he's very good.
You're already putting him in the Red Sox.
Yeah, and George Springer. We're gonna get everybody.
Well, they got money to spend, right?
Wait a minute. You can't get everybody if we're getting everybody.
Oh, that's a good point.
You're going to get everybody.
Man, you
can't
get everybody.
Honestly,
somebody.
I know we touched upon it yesterday, but just it's a total wild card who this guy is and how he's going to run his business.
Yes,
he
sir.
Says he's going to back off. You know who also said he was going to back off? George Steinbrenner when he first took the reins of the Yankees back in the early 70s. He's like, I'm just a shipbuilder, you know.
Right.
I'm just the shipbuilder.
Is that where his money came from?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And I just don't. I would love for him to just put his hands all over that organization.
He would need
money.
Those,
money. The money spigot is opening up for the New York Mets.
Yes, indeed.
Greet the Mets.
Hey.
Greet the Mets.
Come on and pay the Mets.
Right up there.
There you go. As long as they keep the oddly shaped head of Mr. Met.
Yeah,
as long as
they
keep him going as a human being in a baseball head.
He and Mrs. Met aren't going anywhere.
And he only has four fingers, but somehow got suspended for flipping off
right?
When there's no middle.
Just hold a couple down.
Plus, Noah Syndergaard and Mr. Met, they have a little volatile relationship, so I'm hoping that they can get it together.
I think it's just in time for you guys to make sure Syndergaard doesn't wind up in pinstripes. Or
oh, that's
like
never
that.
Going to happen.
Wow.
Well, that's not true. The Mets have pinstripe uniforms. So,
you do have pinstripes.
We do have pinstripes.
But,
sort of
the Rockies. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, what you saying?
I'm saying there's only one organization in baseball that refers to themselves as the pinstripes, and we know what we're talking about. This is going to be great.
One of my teams eventually is going to be good. And then,
have enough of them. So,
exactly.
One, by process of elimination,
I mean, if you got the sports board covered,
I'm one six of them baseball team.
I've got one more team than most people have.
Well,
that's in each league.
Yes,
just one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
one extra team.
Come on.
One extra basketball team.
Yeah, right in every sport.
That's my favorite sport.
And
so
now,
I need
TJ,
it too.
You know what you have? You got yourself Lanto Griffin.
Lando Griffin. Yes.
Lanto. Please. It's not Calrissian. It's Lanto Calrissian.
Call him the Mandalorian, right?
Ooh.
Let's go.
Mandalorian.
So when I wake up tomorrow, first thing I do is check, see how Lanto's doing.
Oh, yeah. Teeing off at 5:06 Pacific.
I'll text everybody.
So next time we're on the air, the Masters, there's a ball in the air in Augusta.
Oh,
yeah.
The opening guys who teed off will be almost done the round by the time we come on the air.
How exciting.
Can't play the music.
Our final poll results over there? I didn't even really check on a poll for much
of the three hours. Oh, yeah. It was fantasy related. Who's the biggest fantasy surprise this year? James Robinson and Justin Herbert tied 32%.
Justin Herbert, brother.
Yeah. Fulgham, 21%.
Fulgham. More fantasy yards than any receiver since week three.
Oh, he's been amazing.
So for our radio audience, I want to thank Lamar Jackson, Kyle Brandt, Nate Boyers, Scott Van Pelt, and David Cross. When we come back, we'll take you to Brother from Another on Peacock. Don't go anywhere. Back with more in a moment.
Hi, this is Chris Myers. For more than three decades, I've covered some of the biggest events in sports and talked with some of the most fascinating personalities. But now I want to invite you to join me for my new podcast, CMI, The Chris Myers Interview on Podcast One. Covered a lot of events, World Series, Red Sox, White Sox breaking through at their time, the Super Bowl as recently as Mahomes and the Chiefs coming back against the 49ers. I was there to grab Brady after he had that tremendous comeback against the Falcons in the Super Bowl, and some tough times, the 1989 earthquake World
series that rocked the Bay Bridge and first to talk to O.J. Simpson live after both of his trials and on the air through the 1996 Atlanta Olympic bombings, informing people as best we could at the time. We'll go in-depth on stories past, present, and future to the effect of the world of sports and everybody in and around it, from current athletes, Hall of Famers, and some people you and I know. Hope you tune in to CMI, the Chris Myers Interview, on Apple Podcast, Podcast One, and Spotify.